Thank you so much for listening. For more information about Ebenezer Church, visit us online at ebenezerpbc.org.
And he gave some apostles. These are gifts that God gave to the church. I hope that we can be scriptural and truthful in this, and that we can accept these things because the Word of God, inspired Word of God, teaches us them, and not cling to things we've been taught or traditions that we have held, nor also cling to new things and new ideas whereby the zealous thoughts and love of man, we strive to do things that are not in Scripture or add things in the church that are not in Scripture, but hold straightly to the truth that God hath given us in His inspired Word. And He gave the gifts that God gave in Christ to us, to men. Matthew 28, there were 11 men there who He gave gifts unto. These gifts were not given to the church. The church did not give these men gifts. God, Jesus Christ, gave those 11 men gifts. Now the gifts, the last one of those gifts, are given unto us and passed on through the ministry. Those men were apostles, and He gave some apostles. There were 11 men in Matthew 28. The 12th one would be Paul. I hope to cover some of that before I sit down. If we go to Matthew, I believe chapter 10, we will find 12 men therein in verses 1 through 4 that are called of Jesus Christ. Let me make this point. 1 John chapter 1, we find the qualifications to be an apostle. We do not have apostles today. This will explain to us why. In order to be an apostle, it has to be one who had seen Christ with their eyes, had looked upon. He said, our hands have handled the word of life. They had to be witness, Acts chapter 1, of Jesus Christ in this world. They had to have seen Him. I have not seen Christ in the flesh. I am not an apostle. I think I'm called of God to preach. I hope that I'm called of God to preach. I am not an apostle. But as they mentioned there, that you had to be witness of the Lord. You had to have seen the Lord and what He did in this world to be an apostle. Then you had to be called of God to be an apostle. There were only 12 apostles. There were 12 sons of Jacob. That is the foundation, 12 being a complete number, of all of God's elect, which He manifests in the Old Testament to us, of His providence and His power and His wisdom and His purpose. Of those 12 sons of Jacob, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that, but remember, Jacob was a supplanter, a deceiver. God took him. God changed him. He wrestled with God. God touched him. God changed the way that he walked. And his 12 sons, by the way, some from handmaidens, became the foundation of God's manifestation of his elect. There were 12. There were not 13. Oh, there was two tribes of Joseph, yes. Another story, another day, another time. But they were from those 12 sons. The apostles of the Lamb, Revelation 4, there were 12. Because the 24 elders, that's the elders in the purpose of God manifesting it unto us, Because John saw the door, the window of heaven opened, and he saw the righteousness of God, and he saw Christ, and he saw the 24 elders, the foundation of God's manifesting, first the election of God, and the 12 sons of Jacob, the other 12 are the apostles of the Lamb. He lists these 12 apostles here. The last one in verse 4 is Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. Judas was not an apostle. Judas, and I'm going to read this so that I can be very clear and not confused. John 17, speaking of Judas, verse 12, Jesus in the high priestly prayer says, "While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name," speaking of those disciples and apostles, "those that thou gavest me, I have kept." We know that no child of God can be lost. But the son of perdition, that tells me the one lost, the son of perdition, the one doomed to destruction, being spoken of there, Judas Iscariot, was not a child of God, because a child of God cannot be lost. He was lost, the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. The 109th Psalm, about verse 6, begins speaking of the time of Christ and of the prophecy of Judas. It says in verse 6, "Set thou a wicked man over him, and let Satan stand at his right hand. When he shall be judged, let him be condemned. Let his prayer become a sin. Let his days be few, and let his office another take." That references Acts chapter 1. When the 11 apostles chose Matthias, well, let me tell you, they chose Matthias by drawing straws, but God chose Paul, and we'll prove that in a moment. The 41st Psalm, to prove to you that he is talking about Judas, he says in verse 9, "Yea, mine own familiar friend in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me," again going to Judas. I tell you that just to establish a point very briefly, that Judas is not, was not an apostle. He was chosen as the son of perdition. He was brought into this group as the son of perdition for the purpose of God. If you read the 69th Psalm, and if God will help me keep this thought long enough to explain it to you, we see another Judas mentioned. Not Judas Iscariot, but the tribe of Judea. Those in charge at the time of Christ. Began reading in verse 9. Bring to reference Old Testament prophecies. "For the zeal of thine house, the Jews, hath eaten me up, and the reproaches of them that are reproached thee are fallen upon me." He began speaking of the Jews. He goes on down to verse 21. You want proof who he's talking about? Pharisees, scribes, Judea. "They gave me also gall for my meat." They gave him gall. "And in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink." They gave him the vinegar. "Let their table become a snare before them, that which they consume, their own self-righteousness, and that which should have been for their welfare, the foundation that Christ would lay of the church in the world, let it become a trap. Let their eyes be darkened that they see not, and make their loins continually to shake." I'm going to leave that alone and move on forward. That's Judas, the tribe, Judea, the people in charge when Christ came. Let's go back to Judas Iscariot. Why would God allow this man to be among those he called? Well, he was not called to be an apostle. He was called to be the son of perdition, because Scripture prophesied of it. Back to John 17, 12. That Scripture would be fulfilled. Why would God use that? Why would God use Judea? One thing in my mind is to teach us that the natural man cannot attain unto the things of God. Eternal life, the knowledge of God, There are many things entailed there. One is to show us about the wrath of God upon us because of our natural man and sin nature and other things entailed. But I say that just very briefly to make the point to you of Judas Iscariot. In Matthew 27 says, when he saw that he was condemned, he repented himself. That's not repentance. That's getting caught, saying, I'm sorry, and he hanged himself. He didn't go to the hell because he committed suicide. Once again, life nor death nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God. I don't care who tells you if a child of God commits suicide, they're bound to hell. That's not true. Well, you can't repent of it. We can't repent of anything. It's a gift of God. Christ died for our sins and they're covered. Repentance is for us to live in this world in peace and the love of God to help us here. But my point, and he gave some apostles. And the 12th apostle, Galatians 1:1, Paul an apostle. Is it 1 Corinthians 4, where he says, or 2 Corinthians 4, but he said he was the least of the apostles. No, that's 1 Corinthians 15. The least of the apostles. Because he persecuted the church of God. The apostle Paul was the 12th apostle. The completeness. Let's go back to Ephesians 2. He says, we're no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints of the household of God. Verse 19, verse 20 says, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. And he gave some apostles. The apostles are dead and gone. We no longer have apostles. In the sense of prophets in that day, we no longer have prophets. Although a prophet, I hope to get to some of that, is a man who is one who can is given the gift of understanding Scripture and relaying it. And in that sense, the ministry is prophecy. But let's stick with the text. And he gave some apostles. This is the first century church. Mark 16, 17. For the point of brevity, and these signs shall follow them that believe. He's talking to these 11. Verse 13 says that. The 11 apostles who were there at that time. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. This was a gift given to the apostles in the first century church, not just to those 12, but it began with those 12. They are the foundation. The word apostle means sent. They were the original ones sent, the 12 apostles, the 12 stones, the 12 foundation. Even the altar that was built of Moses had 12 stones, one for every tribe of Israel. 12 is complete with God. 12 apostles, the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. The apostles were first. There were 12. God called them. God chose them. You can't tell me Paul chose to be an apostle. He was persecuting the church of God, imprisoning them and killing them. When Christ struck him down, revealed himself to them, he was born of the Spirit of God, and Christ sent him forth to be the apostle to the Gentiles. Give that glory to God, for that is the purpose of all things. Now, I'm going to start where I ended and go back. They shall lay hands on the sick. They had the power. The apostles and those that followed in that day to heal. You see Peter, James, and John going to the temple there in the first few chapters of Acts. There was a man lame, begging them for alms, perhaps had been laid at the gate, it says. He was left there to beg, and he begged to Peter, James, and John. And Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but what I have giveth I unto thee. And he took him by the hand and said, arise in the name of Jesus Christ and walk. And he did. I do not have that power. I am a vile, sinful man. And Peter, look at his sins. You give this to God and realize the purpose of God with that. God gave this gift to those men in that day. They had the ability to heal. Well, let me give you one to think about. Philippians chapter 2, Paul left Epaphroditus in Philippi to serve the church there, sick, nigh unto death, and he was nigh unto death from serving the Lord's people. Now, does it not stand to reason that if the man had still had the power to heal the sick and raise the dead, that he would have healed him?
Yeah.
It died with the apostles. They had the power to heal the sick. Paul took up the serpent and the fire. When he was shipwrecked, the barbarians watched. The snake bit him. The viper bit him. They said, this is a wicked man. If he dies, I'm paraphrasing, he didn't die. So they perceived him a god, a little g. Well, the big G, big O, big D did that work. God himself. But it's part of the gifts he gave unto them. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. I'm not playing with snakes today. You bring a snake at me and I'm going to shoot it if I don't shoot you. I hate snakes. I'm not going to drink poison. I poison myself enough with the things I put in my body. They shall speak with new tongues. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 12. Paul speaking of the gifts of tongues. He speaks of speaking in tongues and having an interpreter, one who can hear the tongue being spoken. This goes back to Acts chapter 1, where there were many people there, devout Jews out of every nation. Some had been born in other places. They spoke the native tongue in which they were born and lived. And they were, when the Holy Spirit moved upon them, they spoke in other tongues, but each man heard them in their own natural language. That was the power of God. That was the purpose of God. And I'll give you the purpose in just a moment. Paul speaking of tongues. This is the first century church to who had these gifts. Paul said, tongues, if you're going to speak in tongues, use an interpreter. And he makes the point, it's better to speak five words. It makes sense to the congregation that they can be edified than it is to speak many words in an unknown tongue. Tongues. What's the purpose of tongues? 12:28, 1 Corinthians. And God has set some in the church. These are gifts He gave unto men. First apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers. After that, miracles. We can't work miracles. Then gifts of healings. We can't do that. Governments, diversities of tongues. Governments were when the apostles were on the face of the earth. Because they had government. God set them. There's the foundation to establish. The church today runs itself. You have a bishop. You have an elder. The one and the same. An overseer who is to run, in a sense, the church of God over ministerial things. But we don't have all that today. But to make the point, diversities of tongues. Now, what's the purpose of tongues? Paul says that tongues... Go to 14, verse 22, are for a sign. Let's go back to Mark 16. Jesus said, these signs shall follow them that believe. Signs were given. These were healing and signs of raising the dead, and all the miracles they did were signs to God's children born of the Spirit, that these men were apostles, that they were sent from God, that they had the power of God in them, and it was manifested in the signs that God gave them. Just as God Himself was manifest in the flesh and justified by the, or in the Spirit, not by it. He didn't need any justification, but Jesus Christ, the man, was justified as the Son of God by raising the dead and all the miracles that He worked. These men were sent from God, these 12 men, these apostles, and these things were signs to believers. But now we're talking about tongues. and therefore a sign not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. Whoa. Who is he talking about? Let's pin it down. In the law, it is written with men of other tongues. This is verse 21 of 1 Corinthians 14. In the law, it is written with men of other tongues and other lips, will I speak unto this people, and yet for all that will they hear not me, saith the Lord. What's that referring to? Isaiah 28. For with stammering tongues, stuttering lips, line upon line, precept upon precept, God is telling them, read Isaiah 28. Read it beginning in verse 9. Whom shall he teach knowledge? He tells them, I've preached to you, I've given you this. This is way back in Isaiah's day. I've given you my word. I've given you my commandments, and you refused it. You would not have it, and the day is coming that I will give this unto you in the tongues of other men, and you still will not receive it. And God sent these tongues among the first century church that those whom he quickened and gave life and brought into his kingdom would hear, to manifest to the very Jews themselves by the speaking of tongues that you do not hear it, you will not hear it, you will not enter into the kingdom, you've been cast out because of all your evil works. Now that's the first century church. The apostles had the power to lay hands on people and they would receive the Holy Ghost. They had special powers, special things that God gave to them while they worked the purpose of God. They were spectacles unto death. Paul said, God has set forth us, the apostles, last, even as it were unto death, because they were persecuted, they were tortured, they were martyred. That we can see that God did not forsake them, for the kingdom is here today, 2,000 years later. And he gave some apostles and some prophets. Agabus, I think it's Acts 21, I'm not somewhere there, Acts. Agabus was a prophet. There were prophets in Jerusalem. Their prophets are a little different than prophets are today. They were much like the Old Testament prophets in the sense they could predict the future. Agabus predicted a drought in Jerusalem. The saints collected money in preparation for that drought before it came to pass and sent to them. I cannot predict the future. I can predict one future. I can predict things the Bible tells me. I can predict tribulation. I can predict trials. I can predict death because it's just as sure as age. I can predict the day that the Son of God will return, the Son of Man in the eastern sky. I cannot tell you when it is, but the Bible tells me it's there, so I can predict that. But we don't have the power that they had in that day. He gave some apostles and some prophets. Why? For signs. They did not have the New Testament. It was penned by the apostles and those in the first century church. They had eyes and signs that could see. We are the household of faith. The book is written for us, that by faith on our heart we might understand. And that's another reason for the apostles and the prophets. The foundation of the church which we have today. And some evangelist. Evangelism is mentioned three times in Scripture. Once here we see Philip the evangelist, and we see the Apostle Paul making reference to Timothy. He said, do the work of an evangelist, comma, make full proof of thy ministry. What does that teach me? That teaches me I'm not making full proof of my ministry. Well, now, wait a minute, preacher, that door was opened. Yes, it was. Colossians 1 teaches us that. This gospel which was preached to every creature under heaven. That's just saying Gentile. That door has been opened. It cannot be shut. Christ opened it for that purpose, for that context, we no longer have the gift because it's already been opened to the Gentiles. But that's nonetheless, the Apostle Paul told Timothy, make full proof of thy ministry. Do the work of an evangelist. And that brings us up to pastors and teachers, because we ought to be evangelizing today. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul said, who is Paul, a sinner, and Apollos, a sinner? Paul says, I have planted. Yes, by the grace of God, Paul planted a seed. Apollos has watered. He nourished that seed by God's grace, both of them. But God gave the increase. I realize there was a time they wanted to go down into Asia and the Spirit forbade them because God would visit Asia at a later time. He's visiting Africa now. But nonetheless, following the Spirit of God, we ought to be preaching. We ought to be trying to evangelize. The word means to establish the gospel where it's not been established. Drove down to Mount Olive yesterday for a meeting. That does not make me an evangelist. That makes me a preacher who drove an hour and a half to church yesterday. To evangelize means to establish the gospel where it has not been. We can't do that in the sense of the world. It's already been done. But we can do it with individual people who've never heard the gospel. We can do it with individual people who have been taught a false gospel by defending the true gospel and telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ and His sovereignty. Why is the church dwindling away? We've shut our doors. No better than the Pharisees. Ye enter not into the kingdom and refuse those who would enter. Lord, help us. You can't give life to anyone. But the ministry ought to be preaching the gospel. He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. And I'm out of time just about, but I'm going to give you two verses of Scripture. 1 Peter chapter 5, the elders, that pertains to wisdom. That does not pertain to age. Which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ. There's your witness. There's the Apostle Peter. And also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you. There's our first responsibility. As pastor, that means we care as a shepherd does for the sheep. And as teacher, to teach what? The Word of God to God's children. That is quite a massive responsibility. You think the president's got responsibility? You need to pray for the ministry. You need to pray for your pastor. That is the greatest responsibility ever placed on man. A witness, also protect the glory shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. I'm going to close with Acts 19 while we're talking about that. Maybe it's 20. It is 20. Paul, speaking of the ministry, says 20 and 28 of Acts, take heed, therefore, unto yourselves. This is to preachers. Take heed to yourselves. Are you doing what God told you to do? Are you studying? Are you praying? Is job coming before? Is laziness coming before? That's my case. When I had to work for a living, I got up and studied every morning. You get retired, you get lazy, you don't study as much. God help me because I personally fail daily. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. That's where bishop comes from. That's where overseer, as a shepherd, looking over his sheep, protecting them. Leading them, guiding them. And you want to see an awesome responsibility? The Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God. This is awesome, awesome, awesome responsibility, which He Christ, in fact, God Himself in the flesh, hath purchased with His own blood. Now, I'm going to pull from Steve's wonderful discourse on this. God loved you so much, He died for us. And he's talking to the ministry here. We ought to be doing the things God told us to do. Being overseers. Feeding the flock of God. Serving churches. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. And he tells us why. And I'm closing with this. For the perfecting of the saints. That's you. To teach you how to live. For the work of the ministry. To declare the love of God as Brother Steve has. For the edifying, the building up of the body of Christ. We'll pick up there next week. Lord willing.